So, I've treated myself after a tricky few years of a cancerous brother and a hospitalised mother and all the surrounding fears it brings, alongside pets being put down and moving from city to town. So I think of ways to bring me back to me, to remind myself of the person I should be, to witness the things I ought to see, to ignite a fire of ecstasy. Or some other nonsense that justifies spending money. And although I thought of many sparks, the only real decent one I get a real buzz from was to watch a bunch of guys in green shorts and be charged a small fortune. So to ease my mind and basically trying to trick it, I've convinced myself to buy myself a brand new season ticket to encourage the lads back to the promised lands, those overpaid boys with their undernourished wags who were down on their luck. And as for the ones who didn't give a fuck, they've left for pastures new. So toodaloo, we won't miss you. So I've taken on the task of battling through the 0845 mist of joining the season ticket waiting list. I dialed a number, drifted into slumber for pressing one for something or other, and they play me some soft jazz, or was it light-hearted rock? And please press 2 if this music is cock. And please press here, and in 10 minutes we will appear to underline this message thus. Your call is important to us. And just as I think of ending it all, someone picks up my call.
Norwich City ticket line, welcome.
I want a season ticket, my good fellow. I want to buy expensive drinks and dress in yellow. So 10 minutes we chat, and after I give him this and I tell him that, I proudly hold up my hand like the Pope is about to kiss, until he metaphorically slaps me on the wrist.
Thanks for that. You are now about 1,000th on the list.
Are you taking the fucking piss?
You can give us a call around about Christmas.
Who do you think I am, fucking Santa? Are you putting this down to inverted commas banter? Well, thanks, Mr. Ticket Office Man. I know you've tried. I hope you're proud of making a grown man cry. So I sit on my hands, scrapple my plans, and start making voodoo dolls of the Ticket Office Man. But as I do, and here comes the plot twist, be ready for this. Someone's dropped a bollock, crash bang wallop, or in many in this case, 18th place. Relegation has only gone and happened, and the happy clappers have flapped off and packed off and left. The phone rings. Who's this? I hear his voice.
Hello, Mr. Rogers. I'm pleased to say you're next.
Hooray! Thanks, glory hunters, or should I say glory cunters, for erming and erring about when to support. I should retort if I wasn't being a hypocritical dick. The minutes tick. The gears are in motion. And time moves slowly. In cliche, slow motion. So the first day of the season, I've decided to get there early, and even during a meandering walk from the centre of the city, I've bought into the optimistic feeling many get each season with a positive emotion. We could get promotion. But what brings me down is the ever-niggling thought that makes my brain tight of who or what will be sitting to my right. And if this person's cool, that's 1 out of 2. But who on earth will be on my left? And will they make me rip my eyeball out just to push in my ear to make me deaf? Now, I understand we're all one. To football we've come. And we all eat from the same loaf of bread. But as Orwell once said, some are more equal than others. You can enter your own joke about Norfolk and mothers. So I sit and I get myself comfortable both inside and out and get ready to shout. But before all the noise and calling men boys, I take in my view, the site I've paid a small fortune to, have the privilege to see. And unlike me, it needs to be perfect, like booking a Michelin-starred meal and arriving and diving into something like licorice and veal. So I sit and I wait, like I'm on a blind date, and around me the people flood in, and still there's nothing to my left, and there's nothing to my right, and I'm getting uptight, and around me the seats start to fill, and on one side of my mouth is a cyanide pill, ready to chomp into in case I get no better than a mixture of Jeremy Clarkson and the motherfucking Puppet Man. And it's 3:15, and still no sign. Maybe a clinically insane man is being pulled in by chance, and even a quick glance at the various people shuffling in, there's still no gravitational pull. And now my bladder is full from that expensive drink I bought. So off I stand, and off I walk, shoulder to shoulder with my fellow man. We don't talk. And I see a bloke I know. We don't shake hands. And I wander back to my seat, which is no mean feat in the August glare of stepping up stair after stair. And I think, I wonder what the starting line... And there, a man with grey hair, my neighbour, I stare, and he's mid-flow with someone to his left, so I shuffle towards and settle to his right. Please be all right, I pray, I devour what the programme has to say. He sits next to my side. I can see him in the corner of my eye. Please be normal, I mentally chant. And then his body leans in a 45 degree slant. Please be nice. He breaks the ice. So far so good, I reckon. Although it's hard to judge someone after 1 second, I'd say that's all right. Although his face was blank, as opening lines go, that's better than him shouting, "Wank!" Then he says, "You a season ticket holder?" Well, that was nice. He asked me about me. It was quality. 5 seconds into our relationship and things are going swimmingly. He strung a sentence together. He hasn't punched me or spat or asked for my telephone number. It's time to answer. "I am," I proudly say. "I am. Nothing too complex. I wait to see what's next." It's now 6 seconds in our relationship and I wait. Maybe a generic comment punctuated with the word "mate." He looks at me straight. He sniffs and leads into, "God, you're not a fucking gay, are you?" Now, I'm sure I just heard him say, "God, you're not a fucking gay," but I'm sure he didn't until it echoes around my head, and yep, that's indeed what he just said. Being rude, I don't answer him straight, no pun intended, away. And maybe it was the aggressive tone of his voice. Maybe it was the pitiful choice to ask a stranger, a complete game changer, after 7 seconds. Maybe it was the chap who sat next to him with his childish snigger. And would he giggle if I said the word, "Of course not"? I would say that, and completely out of the blue, 7 seconds into a friendship of two, my eyes move away and I enjoy my view, the one I paid a small fortune to. See, my reasoning is already a million miles away and still I don't have the words to say, so "God, you're not a fucking gay." And anyway, what's God got to do with anyone's sexuality? He's hardly one to judge on normality. But then I think about the treatment of his son, because he had a beard and was kind of slim, and people always go on about other guys nailing him. Back to thinking of the reasons my neighbour chose to ask that question he posed, and then it hit me about 30 minutes after the game when I'm walking back thinking of my plan of attack. Why did he think I only like boys? Maybe it was my chinos, which happened to be turquoise. Well, that's just a joke, but he judged me point blank, and it's not as if I passed him a note saying "toilets in 5 for mutual wank." And then I think, suddenly, he was the same as me. Whilst I was worried about ignorance and being a bit thick, he was worried about if I like flowers and sucked on dick. And that 7 seconds of instant condemning, he condemned himself of not having me sit on his left, because before the next game, I rang the ticket office man, and as quickly as they can, they moved me to a beautiful new view, the one I paid a small fortune to. And I enjoy my new seat and the people I meet, and I think, was I to blame? Is it all just a game when one person's view will always be the same?